Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by Sherry, who's with us this afternoon to help me share with you a quite an inspiring email we got from Teresa recently. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you, Jen.
So just to give people the context, each week Teresa sends us updates on what's going on in the projects and, you know, just kind of the daily happenings. I always have to tell her over and over, no, really, we want to hear, because to them it becomes so commonplace. She's like, really? We want to get? Yes, I really want to hear. And so this one really caught our attention, and actually it was your idea, Sherry, to feature it on the Good News Update because, well, anyway, let me read it first, and then we'll talk about it. So she says, today we received little grade 2 students from a community school in Mushili. So Mushili is a neighborhood about probably a 30-minute walk from Cantalumba, who came to learn about clean water that we have at the property. The little boys and girls came in the company of their teacher. The students asked questions about the clean water and also had a drink of the precious commodity. These students brought a lot of questions to my mind, and the questions made me realize how people value clean water. Of all the wells in Mushili and the surrounding Lubuto area, this school only thought of teaching their students and giving them an example of clean water at Living Compassion. Among the many questions I asked the teacher who accompanied these students was how they found out about us. How did you find out about Living Compassion? The teacher, who I only know as Teacher Yvonne, said she and her family members had heard rumor of our water and had come to the property to fetch water for the first time when there was a water shortage in their community and the utility company. When they realized how clean the water was, they decided to always get their drinking water from our well, and up to now she has continued to do so, even if the utility company still has water. Living Compassion's clean water has been used by many people, and today it is the talk of the folks not only in Cantalumba, but beyond. And then she says, I will send a photo of the little faces in my Thursday photos, which she did, and that's now up on the blog that she sent. So if anyone wants to see that photo, it's up there on the Living Compassion site. And so it struck me, Sherry, when I, what you said about it was that you felt like it was a marvelous teaching on so many levels.
Yes, yes. So, One of the things that always strikes me about this kind of subject is how much those of us who live in the places that we live take for granted having clean water. Right? Having water that won't kill us. So we can turn on the tap and people might say, oh, it's city water, it doesn't taste that good, it's been purified or it's been filtered or what, I mean, not filtered, but whatever they do to it. But it won't kill you.
Exactly.
And so when we went to Cantalumba for the first time, of course, we were just horrified to see people collecting water that was running down a dirt road. And that was the only water available, and that was only available when the water company provided it.
Yeah.
And they had to pay for it.
Yeah.
So, of course, when we talk to people here and outside of Cantalumba, people would say, well, you know, it would be all right if they purified it, right? Well, yeah, it would. But in order to purify it, you have to be able to boil it, or you have to put something in it, or and these people don't have the wherewithal to do anything with that water except use it.
Yeah, because anything, I mean, the charcoal costs money, the, you know, going to get the firewood, going to, I mean, every way that they would have to purify it costs money that they don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so when we learned that they knew the water was bad, that they knew the water was making them sick and, in fact, was killing them, and yet there's nothing that they could do about it because they had to have the water. And it's just the most, what an awful situation to be in to realize that you're giving, I mean, forget yourself, you're giving your children something you know is going to make them sick and there's a very good chance ultimately we'll kill them. I can't imagine anything more heartbreaking. So, yes, so there we are with that as well, and the word spreads, and yet there's no reason to think that the children are any better informed about this whole issue than their parents would necessarily be, right? So a lot of diseases that happen in a community like that, people know that people get sick and people die, but they don't necessarily know it's because of this. And there were people in Cantalamba who knew that that water was polluted and that it was dangerous and that sort of thing. But a lot of people who didn't, right. A lot of people who still don't.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's just one more thing that makes you sick, one more thing
exactly. Yeah. That
you're likely to die from. But what is it?
What is it? And you don't know the difference between, well, this one's malaria coming from a mosquito and this one's, you know, cholera coming from the water and this one's, yeah.
Is HIV.
Right. That has nothing to do with anything. And,
right, yeah. Right. They're just all, it's I don't know if it's as inconceivable to everybody else as it tends to be to me, but to try to imagine having no information about how any of that works. And then to have a chance to, I mean, this is a teacher, so obviously she had the information and as soon as she found out that there was clean water somewhere, she and her family started using it. Yeah. And then to take that next step of bringing her students there so that they can go home and they can educate their families and possibly bring their families to a source of clean water.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the other thing that's just so amazing about it is that it speaks to a piece of the vision that you had from the very start, which is that, you know, Cantalamba being the poorest of the poor. I mean, Zambia is a poor country. Ndola is a poor city. Cantalamba is the poorest of the poor part of Ndola, for sure.
Yep. Yep.
And so looked down upon and so just not respected. And I just, there's such a pride that comes from the whole Living Compassion community in Cantalamba. And now it's kind of, I think, spreading to all of Cantalamba that, you know, there's so much goodness that's happening there and so much to be proud of, and that people in the surrounding area are really noticing that and seeing that and wanting to participate themselves in it.
Yes, because that community that the teacher came from is actually more affluent.
Way more, yeah.
Than Cantalamba. I mean,
yeah.
we would look at it and say, oh, right. You know, oh, my goodness, that's affluent. But in that world, it is.
It's middle class, absolutely. Yeah.
It's middle class, yeah. And
I mean, some of the people have cars there. A lot of them,
yeah.
I mean, when the water company is working properly, they have water in their tap.
Yes,
yeah.
It's polluted water,
it's polluted
but it is
water,
in their
exactly.
tap.
But that's,
yeah.
And that's what they're getting is, oh, my gosh, Living Compassion has the real deal. You know, I mean, like, drink it right out of the cup, out of the tap. It's ready to go.
Yeah, so it's really, I mean, we've always, of course, been really thrilled and grateful to have been able to participate the way we were in making lives better there in Cantalamba. And the, you know, they will say, I don't know even if you have statistics, but I know Teresa has talked about how few children now die of waterborne diseases. That whole thing is becoming a real thing of the past. And then to see it go beyond our little community into a larger community, it's inspiring to want to find another good place and put in another well.
It really is. It truly is. And, you know, one of the things that was moving for me in the email is that, of course, Teresa's in the middle of this every day, all day long. And that it caught her attention, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this woman comes in with these, you know, whatever it was. I think it was like 20 second graders to teach them about water. And that part where she says, of all the wells that she could have taken them to, in so many different areas. This was the one she chose. And I think I projected that for, and actually I did talk to her that week too, that for her it was just a reminder of, oh yeah, this is big what we're doing.
Yes. Well, and slightly off the subject of water, but I was approached recently by someone who said, who asked if we would be willing to kind of coach or mentor other groups in the United States who want to do the kind of project that we're doing in Cantalamba. And I know Teresa is being approached in the same way over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
That people want to know,
yeah,
how is this working? Because so many things don't work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we can't exactly say, well, Teresa Capenda, because then someone might try to steal her.
Which they have done.
Yeah, and we would be in a lot of trouble if she ever said yes. But
but you know what, Terry? That's exactly, excuse me for interrupting, but that's exactly why it works. Because she doesn't want to go somewhere else and make a lot of money. She wants to be in her community and make a difference.
Yes.
That's why it works.
Yeah.
And we have the exact same motivation. We're not trying to... We have no big plan. We have no big trying to write some book. Or we just want to be in the community that's home for all of us and work together.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to do this in 10 countries in the next 5 years. We just and I think that there are. That's why I was so I really sparked to that request that we would coach or mentor people. Because to find people in a community here who want to connect with a community somewhere else and find their own Teresa Capenda and have the kinds of relationships that we've been able to have over these years, yes.
It's very practice, isn't it? It's it's what practice does for all of us. It mentors us in the process of waking up and ending suffering. It can't do it for us. You can't create
right.
the content for us, but it mentors us in the process of doing it.
Right. It supports us as we do the work.
Yeah. Which is the fun part.
Yes.
Doing
the
work.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And we can see it in Cantalamba. It's fun for them.
Yeah.
They don't want a bunch of people to come in and do a makeover of their community. No, just like the rest of us, they want to take the steps themselves, and they want to have the experience, and they want to learn about it, and they want to participate in it, and just like us.
Exactly. Really fun. Well,
really fun.
To turn it over to Sherry and Michael.
Oh, Sherry and Michael are coming on next.
Yeah,
all
they're
right.
coming on
good.
Next, so.
Oh, I hear Michael. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Sherry.
Good. Thank you, Jen.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jen, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
That was awesome.
Isn't that a fun story?
Yeah, great.
Yeah, and so I think one of your boys, at least, is about that age, right? That school group who would be going around and learning about all of that and learning about wells and clean water and how it works and what it means for your health and all of that sort of thing. And what a great age to be giving that kind of information to a child, because that child is going to make use of that for a lifetime.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about how we take it for granted and, you know, of course I can drink it. Of course it always comes out of the tap. It's just,
and when it doesn't, we're really offended.
Yeah.
We want to call somebody immediately.
Yeah. It reminds me of when you ask people about, what they want in their lives. And they never mention what they already have that works really well, like running water and food to eat and shelter and all of that.
Yeah. Those are the things we can take for granted because they're a given. So now, I can use a new car. And
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was very fun. Inspiring.
Yeah. Especially right after the bridge walk, it all goes nicely together. So
yeah. Yeah.
And I like that. I like that idea. I know the people in Cantalumba really are eager for expanding the work that we're doing there and bringing more of the community into it. And be interesting to see. We've had little fantasies about going to the other side of the of Cantalumba because it's, you know,
yes,
it's a fairly big space, and seeing about putting down another well and having that as a little, because, you know, everybody pays a tiny amount of money for the clean water, and that,
yes,
helps support the community. And so making that as kind of a little business, an extra business, and they would watch it and care for it, and just that many more people would have access to all this one part, at least, of that good stuff.
Yes, and what strikes me about what you're saying is that it's so sustainable the way that this project is growing. It's,
mm-hmm,
not, as you said, it's not trying to go to 10 countries in the next 5 years and write a book and make a program, and
yeah,
know, it's focused on here, now, what's happening, what's likely to work.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you say that, Michael, it's very much a family approach.
Yes.
You know, we look at, well, what do we have money for now, and what,
right,
what's the need? So, you know,
yeah,
we could go in these different directions, but this seems like the best investment for us now. And we commit to that, and we grow into that, and then we look to the next thing that we can take on, and it's really living. You know, it's,
yeah,
so that's what I like about it. It's not getting somewhere. It's really living, because that's how living is. We get up and we look to see what's on for today, and we set about doing that, you know. And we may have kind of ideas about things that we, you know, I want to go on retreat next year, and I want to look into such and such, and I want to make a commitment to doing a yoga practice and sitting meditation 5 days out of the week, you know, all these kinds of things we do. And what we're doing is just living our lives. And it's the most, I think it's the most powerful thing a human being can do.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like how you framed it like that. It's very concrete and simple and,
mm-hmm,
focused.
So again, I know you probably have announcements that we have people we'd like to talk to, but I mention this periodically because it always comes with a conversation like this, but the fellow who, in a book called The Master Game, and he was talking about how existence has kind of a negative connotation. You know, we don't want to exist. That doesn't seem as good as whatever the alternative is. I guess really living, I don't know.
Yes.
But to actually exist seems like an extraordinary ambition to really have the existence that I have, and to participate fully in that. That just kind of seems like the highest calling for us humans.
That's great. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on with you with this conversation, and I'm restraining myself.
But we should. What's coming up, Michael? What's going on we should know about?
There's a new email class with you, Sherry. It's called Everything is the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
It starts October 25th. And the deadline,
yes,
to register is just the day before at 5 p.m.
Yes, and I just want to put out a little word to the wise that the sign-ups for this are low, which is interesting because it was the topic that when we did a little survey about what people would like an email class on, that's the one that got the big thumbs up. And yet, we're not seeing a lot of sign-ups. So if people do want to do that class, let us know pretty soon because there's no sense in wasting resources if people don't really want to do it.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So to reflect what you said, sign up soon to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. If you want to do it. If you don't, of course. But don't sign up.
And you, Sherry, will be at the Integral Yoga Institute in San Francisco on October 26th.
Woo.
An opportunity to learn more about transcending resistance.
Yes.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to find out more and to sign up for any of these events.
Yeah, and just two more. One, the Mountain View event, I think it's December 1st.
Yeah.
At our new center, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is going to, it's good, a 10 to 4 workshop on, I think, looking at what we really want for the holidays. And then I think registration is open for the New Year's retreat.
Yes, I believe it is.
Yeah. So, and that, I know it is because I've seen signups come through. So that's one that, that's a spectacular event. So.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Our call-in number is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And then you'll enter £1 or your PIN followed by pound. And a reminder to talk for about 5 minutes, please, and to focus on one topic. Let's get going.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller, are you there?
That's not a good start, is it?
Good start. Okay, let's go to the next caller.
Ooh, here's somebody.
You are
hey,
now
Sherry.
Live on the air. Go for it.
Hey, Sherry, it's Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth. How are you
doing?
Good. What's up?
Well, a few weeks ago, I felt like I needed to make a change in my eating program to be more healthy in a certain area that will have an impact on my health, and I really felt like it was the biggest kindness I could do for myself. Mm. And what I've noticed since then, as I've been pursuing a alternate eating pattern, is I have a crazed subpersonality, a conditioned crazed subpersonality who is taking this whole thing and taking my intention and superficializing it into it's a diet and we're going to lose weight, which it's not, and that's
uh-huh.
not my intention.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Sometimes that does happen from eating a healthier diet, but
that's not the point.
I have this crazed subpersonality. Some subpersonalities are more crazed than others. And this
yes.
is definitely one of the crazed ones. Because she's, I call it diet girl. I call the subpersonality diet girl.
Uh-huh.
She's all revved up like, we're going to lose weight, and that's the alpha and omega of life. And she just kind of spins off like that. And she's
uh-huh.
at like a very loud volume. So,
can you give me a kind of a little version of what happens then? So she spins off, she's at top volume, she's on her program, and then what happens?
It's like she commandeers my attention and focus about this eating differently. It makes
mm-hmm.
She grabs the attention, the focus, because she's a high energy, high volume kind of subpersonality. And so kind of drags my focus into superficialized and cheapens it. So I start thinking about it in a superficialized way
uh-huh.
until I remember, like, wait a minute, go back to center, because at center, this has nothing to do with losing weight. This was a kindness for myself, for my health, drastically
yeah.
needed kind of. But I've noticed that, like, at center, it's real quiet. So I have to, like, turn my attention away from this screeching kind of energized subpersonalities, totally crazed. And it's hard because at center, there's nothing like screeching and yammering. It's quietly remembering my pure intention weeks ago.
Yeah. So on the retreat that we're in right now, I've heard myself say a number of times to people in these kinds of situations, it's hard for us to see that this is a real positive, and yet it is, because you're getting to see this so loud and clear, right? You're seeing what has happened to these kinds of intentions that you've had probably for years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Diet Girl actually perhaps is much more interested in grabbing the attention than in losing weight, even though she says that's what she's all about. Because I'm guessing that the net result of her efforts will not produce weight loss. Is that correct?
Well, my concern is that that kind of subpersonality, that kind of intention of that subpersonality is going to make a win-lose duality. That,
yes.
Like, you know, oh, I'm going to win or I'm going to lose.
Yes.
And I don't want to go there.
Which do you usually do?
Well, you win and then you lose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she sets you up. So, and you go on this program, and you lose some weight, and then it's over, and she goes away, and then the ones who are going to put that weight right back on start their eating program.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really, really, really helpful to see it so clearly, isn't it?
I see it, but it's driving me crazy because I don't like how my intention is getting superficialized and cheapened.
That's right.
At full volume, 24/7.
Yes, okay. However, you know that that's what's going on. Now, I bet there was a time way back when that you believed that she was going to accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. And now you've seen that it doesn't work. It's not what you want to accomplish. It's not how you want to be. You want to stay with this quiet, centered focus on taking the best care you can of your body. Yeah?
Yes.
Yes. And so do you have a recording and listening practice?
Yes.
Okay. So that's where you want to start every day, right? Now, one of the things that can be a helpful support, well, there are a lot of things, you know, as you know, I'm sure that we offer that could be a helpful support. Like one is an awareness coach to work with you on this. But just on your own, if you were to do something like the 30-day retreat in the back of Making a Change for Good,
mm-hmm.
and check in with your recording and listening practice every morning and every night. And what you don't do is go up against her. Okay? So you know she's going to scream and yell and carry on, try to make it about what she wants to make it about and get you into that conversation. You know that. And so your job is just to quietly turn your attention away from that and back to where you want it to be. So perhaps a recording that talks about what it is very specifically and precisely, what it is that you want from this new relationship with food. Okay? So how the choices that you want to make and why you're doing it and how you want your body to feel and for now and for the future, and what your body means to you and how you want to be in relationship with it so that it feels honored and cared for and all of those. Whatever it is for you, you make a nice long recording of that, and you listen to that definitely first thing in the morning and last thing at night, and you get a report on, you know, how you did with your new relationship with food during the day. You keep track of all that, and because it's nice when people make an effort to acknowledge their effort and express gratitude and appreciation for what they've done, But the main thing that you're focused on for at least the next 30 days and hopefully beyond is changing your relationship with that strident voice.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
not a battle, right? It's not a battle. Mm-hmm. She wants to battle, and you're doing Aikido. So she comes at you screaming and yelling, and you just step aside and let her go.
Do you have any examples? I would love to hear. I love hearing examples of reassurances, just to get me started.
Okay, for the part of you who is on this new program.
Sure.
Yeah, because that's who you want to talk to, right? And of course, you're going to talk to the mentor about this, but I bet the mentor is going to say some things like. As you know, this is not about losing weight. It's not about anything short term or quick results. This is a whole different relationship with food and with your body. And what you want to do is to take care of your body so that it lasts you a lifetime, so that it feels honored and respected and appreciated and valued. And so, you know, it might even talk to you about doing some things like some little light yoga before you go to bed at night or first thing when you get up in the morning, so that, again, it's time to be with your body and attend to it. You might, in fact, spend some time once a week making a shopping list of things that you're going to buy and have in the house, so that when you're hungry, you have really good things to give to your body, like that.
Right, okay. And is there any recording I would make? I guess the subpersonality that I'm talking about, I'm seeing that it's kind of like in general dealing with an OCD subpersonality.
Yeah. And so my best encouragement is just don't be involved.
Uh-huh.
Because it's I don't know what to compare it to, but it's kind of like something that happened to you in adolescence. And you've just outgrown it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you could definitely say, you know, if you want to get on board, we're happy to have everybody join the nutrition train, but that's not how we're doing it. And then you don't engage. You just turn your attention away, bring it back to that quiet, centered place, and remind yourself what you want to do and why you want to do it, how you're going to do it, what's important to you about it, all of those kinds of things, and you just keep bringing your attention back there.
Right.
And then
Yeah. You
let us know. Right? You get a lot of support for staying there.
Yeah.
That's
right. It's exhausting dealing with an OCD subpersonality. I love her. I know she's a good kid. I want to put tape over her mouth.
Yeah. Yes. Well,
at the end of the day.
And you know, the best thing, so, you know, if you have a small child having a temper tantrum, it's probably kindest just to walk away.
Okay.
And the same with that. You know, she's screaming and yelling. It's always worked. She's got a lot of attention for it. A lot of misery resulted from it. And now it's time to just walk away and see if she wants to get on board with something else. Then she's a legitimate part of you. If she doesn't want to get on board with something else, you might start suspecting that she's more karmic conditioning than an authentic aspect of the personality.
Yeah, I think she's both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. That's good.
You are so welcome. Keep me posted, huh?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back live.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing?
This great song by Trish Rexford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. We have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, my name's Eric. I've been calling in for every couple months. I used to call me the man that didn't hear the voices.
That's right. I remember you. How are you?
Well, very well. The last time I called in, I was July, and the phone kept breaking up, at least on your end. It sounded clear to me, but I got that recording, so I heard what you were working through, so thank you. Still managed to get a lot of wisdom out in that call. Thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you.
So just a quick update. It was brilliant advice you gave. My sister even recorded for me so I could listen to it the next day. And with all that good advice, I did what any smart human does. I promptly ignored it for 3 months.
Good for you.
Left it on a shelf, got it back out in September, started working on it. I got a couple books in the mail. One's called I Don't Want To, I Don't Feel Like It. And I thought, boy, did Sherry nail it with this one. All the things I didn't understand are explained in that book.
Oh, very good, very good.
And I'm serious. And I'll touch on it. But the funny part was the other book I got was How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And I thought, boy, Sherry's nailing it this year, but that book's about 10 years old. So apparently it was always there. I just wasn't smart enough to figure it out.
It's been there for a long time, Eric. We're all figuring it out.
I know. Isn't that just hilarious? You know, the book was great. I loved how it explained how resistance appears in different forms. I often struggle with people calling in saying they hear voices or what they fight with because I didn't identify with that. But this book sort of covered every area, and there was something for everyone kind of thing. I was like, oh, I do that. Oh, I get that. Oh, I hear that. So there were examples and exercises, so it's just been terrific. So that's been very helpful. Recording and listening isn't as good as it should be, and I'm still struggling with things, but I have some serious guides to go back to that just when I go, what does it mean letting the force live you, and I read the page again, I go, okay, I got it today. So good stuff.
Yeah, and you know, for all of us, that's the ticket, because we want to surround ourselves with the reminders, because karmic conditioning is really good at confusing us and getting us to forget. And so if we realize that it's not as clear as it used to be, then what do I need to go back? Ah, I got it. Okay, I'm back on track. That's excellent practice.
It's something you say many times, and you know, you just have to be ready to hear it, is about you can't solve the problem from where you come from. For a long time I thought, but there's only me thinking, and I couldn't get it till there was some exercises and chapters in this book and a class we did before. And so, yes, I'm catching those moments, and you just, you know the deal. I mean, you step back from it, you're aware of it, you go, okay. And
I see it,
and I'm talking myself. I'm thinking into a reality which isn't a reality, which is a great trap. And so I wanted to thank you for that book. The call, boy, that was terrible. I have actually went and got some socks. Started cutting it all up into pieces, cutting out the distorted part so I can listen to it, because there was just a very good lesson and good flow in there that you had going for me that day. It just bang on, step by step, answered all the questions. And I even loved just that brutal comment to the Buddhist way. At some point, it's up to me to just have to say enough is enough. You know, you mentioned everything was a tool, but it wasn't the magic bullet, and that really pointed the responsibility back to me. Even though I say I'm responsible, I was looking for a tool. So another great bit of help. And my final thing was just, it's a shame that if Linda comes up that bad that you can't just cut the caller off and have them call in, because we must have had a really bad phone line. what else did I have for you? 2 weeks ago, I was next up on the call when your system crashed. So it was like you're live and your system went down, which was hilarious. And then the email class, I thought, I just heard you mentioning that. I've heard a lot about your Africa project and the bridge walk. I haven't seen anything on the class, and I usually get an email or two, a reminder and an invite. I haven't seen anything of the Voice Busters cartoons, and I haven't seen an invite to the class. I heard about it, so yes, I'll go and sign up for it. But I'm just saying, I don't know if you've maybe not been sending them, you've been busy with other things, or possibly
I've
been missing them.
I don't honestly know. But I imagine as we get closer to the class, we'll start bombarding you with information about signing up. And the Voices cartoons, I think, are now in archives. I think you can go visit the ones that were already drawn, but they're actually not being drawn any longer. So they're in archives.
Then I just quit, because I was just flipping through the archive, because they're great reminders. But
they are, aren't they? Yeah.
Didn't have a question. You said just give you a follow-up. I just thought I'd tell you the advice that you offered that day wasn't lost. I recorded it. I listened to it several times a day as I cut out the distorted bits. I'm not doing everything you said successfully, but I have lots of material to work with. So thank you very much, and I'll turn it over to your next caller.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Eric. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Hey.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Oh, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing quite well. Really enjoying the show. I love the good news update tonight.
Nice to think about those people over there having all that delicious water to drink, huh?
Oh, yes, and the talk of another possible well, and it was just very, very uplifting.
Good, especially since we did that big fundraiser. Now we have to figure out something to do with all those funds. No, I guess we actually don't. I think we already have something in mind for that, actually. But it's good in that way we were talking about to have the next things lined up that we know we want to put our energy and attention and finances toward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was actually calling. I have a great Practice Works story that I just really wanted to share.
Oh, good. Love those.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been for a long time practicing, you know, calling open air and just showing up and not, you know, not letting the voices talk me into planning what I was going to say or having any sort of agenda. And I actually had a great experience last week where that life dropped that in for me at exactly the right moment when I really needed it, when I just really needed it in a different kind of situation.
Uh-huh. The not planning and the just being open to what life dropped in, that part of it?
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. I realized I was in one of those situations. I was asked to present at this kind of contest thing last week, and I'm someone who typically I'm really scared to speak in public, as I know, you know, a lot of people are. It's just kind of really frightening for me. And I watched how sort of the initial go-to was this, like, preparation mode. And then it was so great because, you know, how it just dropped in. Like, well, I could treat this like a working meditation. You know, like I was just given a note that I'm going to go to this thing. You know what I mean? And I could just show up.
Yeah.
And luckily, like, I didn't know anybody who was going to be there. So it was, like, all strangers. And so I thought, you know, there's really nothing to lose. Like, you know, what could happen?
You never have to go back.
Exactly. You know, if I make a fool of myself, okay, well, you know, I'm just on a little mini retreat. I'm just going to see what happens. And, you know, I went and there were all these, you know, I was kind of nervous about just being with all these strangers. And so since I wasn't planning what I was going to do or say when I got there, I just met people. And there were some really lovely people there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was having fun and meeting people. And, you know, other people spoke. And I loved what they said. And I was really present. And I didn't let my conditioning try and pull me into what about when it's your turn. And it was so wonderful.
Well, I am very, very happy for you. And, of course, having had these conversations with you over time, I know the work that you have done to overcome that you have to start wake up in the middle of the night to plan what you're going to talk about on the radio show. And so that really is an enormous success.
Oh, and I just am so grateful because, again, I didn't, you know, I didn't really know that, but it's like it really is true. It sounds so silly, but it is practice. Like just getting this opportunity to call here and do it and then go out in the world and see, like, okay, what happens now, you know?
Yes. Well, and, you know, Sherry, the thing about it is there's the content of it, you know, which is true. I mean, you've practiced in these situations. And then you go out in the world and you put it into practice. But even more than that, even bigger than that, is the willingness to just be open to life provided this opportunity. I'm going to go there and just show up and see what happens. To be guided by life in that way and to know that you're being guided by life, to watch the karmic conditioning come up to try to put it back in the familiar old box and to say no to that, the whole thing, you know, it's standing up in front of a group of people that you don't know and letting life put the words in your mouth that you are to say, that's big, but it started way back before that when you were willing to just go along with, I was invited, so I'm going to say yes, because there must be something there for me.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yes. And, of course, the other piece that I just was beaming when I left, because it's like life showed up so beautifully. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and of course, you know, it's just, it was, I mean, I don't actually even know what I said, but I know that I was there, and I was connecting with people, and that felt, it was so much fun. I don't even really, you know,
it didn't
matter, really.
Yes, in a very real sense. Now, early on, you know, we want a recording of what we said so that we can listen to it later and cringe and get the critique from the voices and feel bad and vow never to do anything like that again. And then we get to the point where, you know, I really had a good time and everybody else seemed to have a good time, so I guess we had a good time. And that's all that's ever going on.
I know. It was, and you know, they gave out prizes. It was sort of a contest sort of thing, and I didn't win a prize, but I'll tell you what, I probably was the happiest person. Like, I felt like I had won $1,000 or, you know, $10,000. I felt so rich when I left. Like, it was phenomenal.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good.
So
I love those happy stories.
Yeah, and I know, you know, it's just, again, the gratitude for being able to practice where it's safe, you know, within our sangha, because then it's like, okay, I'll try it out there, you know?
Yeah. And well, and, you know, the other thing that I think about with our sangha, because it is a safe place to be ourselves and do scary stuff, but I think one of the things that I've gotten out of it that's been most helpful and powerful is these are people, our sangha, these are people I know, but these are just people. So I'm guessing that as lovely as these people are, there are probably an awful lot of other lovely people out there. I just haven't had a chance to meet them yet. So that stuff that we're so conditioned to believe that, you know, that people are scary and dangerous and all of those kinds of things. When we really put ourselves out there in the way that you're describing, usually we find that they're not. That people are kind and really kind of a safe place to be. If we are.
Love that. Oh, I love that. And that was certainly my experience. I just loved the whole group of people. I felt like I knew all of them, you know, even though I didn't, but it's like at the end.
There was Sangha.
So, yeah, so I'm going to hop off because my time is up, but just So grateful.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for telling that story.
All right. Deepak Show.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ellie in San Diego.
Well, hello, Ellie. How are you?
Doing all right, all things considered.
Aha. Uh-huh. Can you say more about that?
Well, my fiance has been on furlough, and so it's a big financial possible issue. And I'm finding myself trying to fix her, like help her be okay with it.
What does on furlough mean? I'm sorry.
It means that she's a federal worker who isn't being paid right now.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, okay. And so you're attempting to be supportive.
Yeah, and with not so great results.
And so what's the attempt and what are the results?
It looks a lot like, you know, how did your day go? And she's like depressed and unhappy, and so okay, what do you want to do differently? And I try to stay really centered during the conversation, but I find myself trying to change her, which is, I know, not a helpful place to be, but I end up there.
And do you try the old reflective listening trick?
Well, yes, when she talks.
And then when there's silence, do you feel the need to do something?
Yeah.
And
I
then
feel very sad.
And do you then kind of become the target for the emotion?
Sometimes.
And then you feel sad.
Well, I feel sad watching her suffer, and feeling really powerless about it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so is it, now this is a tricky one, okay? But is it her suffering that you're struggling with or yours? Probably both. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things... Go ahead.
The reason that I'm suffering is because I want her to be different than she is.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things we talk about a lot is how we're all equal to our experience.
Mm.
We're all adequate to our own lives.
Yeah.
Is that kind of a stretch?
No, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. And that you trust that she is equal to her life. She's capable, competent, intelligent person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so does it sometimes feel more like a case of, I can't stand how I feel when she is seeming to feel the way she seems to feel?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That being with her, projecting that suffering onto her, and the fact that you're projecting, of course, doesn't mean she's not suffering, right?
Yeah.
But it is your projection. And so you project that onto her and then feel like you want to, wish you could, should be able to do something to help her, something about that. That doesn't work. And then you're left feeling what you feel as a result of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And very often, and I don't know if this is true for you, but that it's your feelings that you can't deal with. So if you could make her different or help her to be different or whatever, you wouldn't have to feel this way.
I wouldn't have to deal with what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
If I could change her.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't know, of course, that what she's feeling isn't the absolute perfect thing for her to be feeling now, for whatever life experience she's having and what she's getting out of this. And
yeah. Mm.
And we don't know that it isn't the absolute perfect thing for you to be going through right now, to experience what you're feeling and grow in the ways that you're growing as a result of this experience.
What you're pointing to is definitely a different way to be in relationship with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That if you can be all right with how you feel, that might just be the most help that you can be. Because then she's free to have the life experience that she's having.
Yeah. I definitely have a subpersonality that's, or a something that's like, but I want to help her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we love somebody, it's really hard for us to get that the way to help them might be to leave them alone.
Yeah.
Because that feels kind of left out.
Well, and she was even saying that she was feeling abandoned when I was focusing on my practice over the weekend. It's finding
so,
a balance of offering
exactly.
support.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? That seems like the clearest piece of it, right? In a situation like this, when we're committed to being support for one another, that we have to be willing to be the support that the other person wants, not the support that we want to give.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it really can make you kind of crazy that, you know, in one minute it's leave me alone, and in the next minute I feel abandoned. And so, you know, if we're asking a person in trauma to be logical or reasonable, that might not work out well.
A very good point. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So the main thing, it seems to me, is it's back to the famous put on your own oxygen mask before you try to assist someone else. So
yeah.
To give a lot of support to the support person so that the support person has everything she needs to be able to be there the best she can for someone she wants to be there for.
I will. Thank you very much. That gives me some good direction.
Good. And don't forget that mentor, right? Lots of quality time with that unconditional love and acceptance from center, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I'm working with an awareness coach. That's been helpful.
Oh, very good. Oh, very good. Okay. Excellent. All right, well, take good care of yourself then, huh?
Will do. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ellie. And I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Now we can, yes. Hi there.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you every time you say, can you hear me? And I think I just heard enough to know who this is, but then you cut out again before a name. Is it Beth?
This is Beth, yes. Can you hear me?
I guess.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Comes through loud and clear. What is it about telephones? That's the one thing that you can always hear.
Yes.
Let's try it again. There you go.
Yes, there's lots of time.
Uh-huh.
So just, and all of a sudden, deer in the headlight. I've had a lot to bring up and a lot to talk about. And kind of finding that a lot of gratitude. I remember the first bridge walk when we walked up the hill as part of the, and I remember meeting you at the top and you giving me one extra thing to do when I got to the top.
Uh-huh.
And that's so much what life is. Just when you think you've reached the top, you find that, you know, it's really just the beginning.
And there's always just one more thing, isn't there?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The other thing that kind of just, you were talking about the water and just turning on the water and knowing you have safe water to drink. Pennsylvania is being, with fracking.
Oh, dear.
They found radioactive fluid in the Allegheny, which is our main water source.
Hmm.
So it gave me a great deal of being able to touch in with compassion.
Mm.
Yeah, those are just two things that kind of came up in this, in listening this evening.
Wow. Wow. We make some bad decisions, don't we?
Such foolishness. They do not know what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Chinese curse of living in interesting times.
Yes, yeah.
It seems like I'm hearing more and more people just kind of, you know, talking about how many money is letting them down.
About what is letting them down?
Money.
Uh-huh.
And kind of finding that underneath that is kind of like my karmic ego gets continually trapped in lack of abundance,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
which is kind of how I cut off the flow.
Yes. If I'm understanding what you're saying, when we focus on lack, we cut off the flow to everything other than lack.
I do that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
My ego
yeah.
does that continually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which has made me incredibly grateful for the Tuesday evening opportunities.
To focus on something other than lack.
Yeah. Yeah, to focus on other than lack. Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's,
you know,
there's so much, isn't there?
Yes, there is so much. It's like the Zen story of the tiger chasing you off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of going down the rope and looking down and seeing a tiger below. So there's a tiger above and a tiger below, and then you look up and there's two mice chewing on the rope. So
and then just at that moment,
strawberry.
What do you see? Yes, yes, there's that delicious strawberry.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I almost
life
understand.
Life is good. Yeah, yeah. In that moment, life is good. And it's true. We're over the edge of the cliff, and the tigers are circling, and the mice are chewing.
Yes.
And all we have is this moment. And when we are in the moment, there is always a delicious strawberry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And even
I
without,
go ahead.
That's good. And even without fracking and all these imaginary fears and lacks that I have, that's our story. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We only live for a short time.
Yes. Yeah. It's always this one moment.
Yes.
And it's always turning our attention to that strawberry.
Willingness is the key.
Hmm?
Willingness is the key.
Yes. Yes, it is. And, of course, karmic conditioning does such a job on us because it wants to talk about the past and the future and focus on everything that's wrong and everything that's not working and everything that's not real. And to keep us from focusing on what is real. In fact, when we begin to look for them, there are so many delicious strawberries surrounding us that we can feel overwhelmed with abundance.
And having this opportunity of speaking briefly with you this evening is such a strawberry. And
it's
I thank you for
strawberry.
It.
Well, you are so welcome. It's a strawberry for me, too.
So I guess the only thing left is thank you.
Thank you. And let's not be strangers, huh? I haven't talked to you in a very, very long time. So.
Yeah, I'm here every Tuesday night.
Well, good. Well, now at least I can know that, even if I'm
yeah.
not talking with you. I will know that.
Yeah.
And that's very good. There's another strawberry.
There's another strawberry every week.
All right. Take good care of yourself, Beth.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You've been listening to Open Air. And I love strawberries, Sherry.
I know. And they're everywhere. They're
they are
always everywhere. In season.
Yes, they are.
And they're always organic.
Yes, they are. We are so lucky.
Here we are. All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.